Australia's first brain bank was launched today at Sydney University's Brain and Mind Centre to study the relationship between concussion, head injury and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, which is a neurodegenerative disease found in people with a history of repetitive brain trauma, i.e. rugby players, many of which have already donated their brains for the research, among them former rugby union player and Fairfax journalist Peter Fitzsimons. The launch has reignited debates surrounding Australia's rugby culture. Why were head injuries swept under the rug for so many years? Julia Carr-Katzel has more.
The launch of Sydney University's Brain Bank has drawn attention to the questionable nature of Australia's rugby culture. I spoke with Peter Fitzsimons, prolific journalist and former rugby union player, about his experience in the field.
And it's only when you get older that you look back upon the punishment that you took, including to your brain, including the concussions, and you understand more and more of the research, to think, well, what the hell was I thinking? Why did my generation of footballers, why did we think it was only boxers that would get into trouble? Because, you know, we all knew about punch-drunk boxers. In 1990, we simply didn't know the dangers of second impact syndrome. We thought, you know, there were three solutions to being knocked out. One was the magic sponge, magic water. The trainer would come out with a bucket, put a sponge on your face and shake it off. Number two was smelling salts. And number three was man the huck up. Just get up and get going. Yet you still see, weekend by weekend, on the TV screens, you see guys go down, completely poleaxed, lying there face down, motherless, and God help me if they don't get up shortly thereafter and play on, and the head injury assessment comes back and says, no, nothing wrong with them. And the answer to that is, well, what the hell was it then, champion?
Peter stresses the importance of change.
The concussion protocols that are in place are pretty strong, but we haven't come far enough in observing those protocols. One of the other problems we've got is in terms of observing concussion protocols, it's bad enough that those protocols aren't observed when all the cameras are there. I fear for the guys playing week by week in competitions where there are no cameras, how are they going? The answer is we as a people need to change our culture. You've got to take this seriously. There is no organ in your body more important for your future than your brain.
I spoke with Professor Stephen Woodcock from the University of Technology, Sydney, who has published numerous academic sports titles. Professor Woodcock maintains Peter's belief that the denial of head injury in the past is largely due to the social culture of rugby.
I don't think it's confined really just to rugby, in the sense that a lot of sports, and particularly sports where there's a inherently aggressive nature, where you've got a lot of contact, a kind of a culture of a sort of warrior-like sort of spirit, or at least that's how players would see themselves. Because a lot of these sports are like to compare and contrast themselves with things like soccer, where they'll see somebody kicked on the ankle and go down holding their ankle, with a sort of minor injuries don't bother us, therefore major injuries don't bother us either. And I think that's led to a great sense of sort of a badge of honour for ignoring what are often very terrible symptoms. I mean, a study that came out last year, 111 former players asked to be either donated their bodies or asked to be scanned while still alive, and 110 of them showed signs of really quite poor sort of brain condition. Since they sort of opened the floodgate, other sports have had to. And a lot of this recent awareness has come from the US, whereby particularly the NFL, the American football, has had a major, major issue. It's had a couple of them, half a dozen, very high-profile ex-players committing suicides or committing violent crimes, whereby they've actually done autopsies and they've revealed massive levels of brain damage, but not from a single incident, what they call CTE, chronic trauma, encephalopathy. And the scale of that has just sort of slowly dawned, and that league was in denial about this problem for the last decade. They've finally admitted to it, with associated lawsuits as well.
Initiatives such as the Brain Bank are the first steps to creating better awareness, but Professor Woodcock says unfortunately the culture still lingers.
The Rugby League, the NRL, finally banned the shoulder charge, which obviously has a high chance of impacting a player's head with bony hard contact of an opponent's shoulder. And a lot of people were arguing that the game's gone soft, this isn't the game I grew up with, kind of, we shouldn't be tampering with it. Now, it's a fairly, I would argue, a fairly kind of caveman mentality. So snapping supporters out, the idea that you may have enjoyed basically watching concussed people run into each other, but that really is not in anybody's best interest.
To curb the long-term effects of high-contact sports, such as rugby, we need to continue to educate and better the awareness of those within and outside of the industry.
Julia Carr-Katzel ending that report.